Good morning. You know, we all have a story, or two or ten, that we've just told 1,000 times, right? This is mine. And if you've heard it before, or if this is your 10th time hearing it, deal with it. When I was 19, I went on my first missions trip to Battelle. As many of you guys know, I've been leading that trip with my husband now for several years, and part of the reason that I'm so passionate about it is because it was a point of transformation for me. It was a point of complete change for me. Now, I was a pastor's child, and there aren't a whole lot of perks to being a pastor's kid, but there's a few. And so one of the perks is that I got to go on this trip after being away at college and having attended none of our preparation times together as a team. No, team, you won't get away with missing out on today's meeting because I said that. And I went into this thing with no training, really allowed to go because I was a pastor's kid. And my plan was just to be part of the team. I thought Kent and Mary Alice Martin, the missionaries there, were just the coolest people in the world. And I got to leave the country, and I was just going to play the part. Listen, if you've been in church long enough, you can learn how to play the part. And so what we do when we go to Battelle is we do prophetic prayer appointments over each of the men and the women who are residents in this program for recovering drug and alcohol addicts. And so I thought I'd get into each session and I can, amen, yes, Lord, do it, Lord, more, Lord. Easy enough, right? I knew the language, I could play along, I could do it. And the thing is, I was hungry for God. I knew God. I knew him as Father. I had received Jesus as my Lord and Savior at a very young age. I had been trying to follow him with my life. It wasn't like I was off in left field somewhere. I had given my life to the Lord. And actually, and ironically, months before I went on this trip, I had been talking to my dad and I'd said, I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, which is what we're talking about today. I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And we talked a little bit, and for whatever reason, he said to me, I want you to go talk to Merle Shank. The irony of now I've worked alongside of him for many years. And what's really ironic is just last week, I had a young blonde, curly-haired girl sitting in my office asking me about the Holy Spirit. That's just weird. But so I went and I talked to Merle and I said, I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I just want more of God. I just feel like I'm missing something. There's something that is missing in my walk with God. And I feel like that's it. I just want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And he said, well, have you prayed to be filled with the Holy Spirit? I said, yes. He said, then you are. And I was so unsatisfied with his answer. And I said, but I haven't experienced anything. I don't feel anything different. He said, listen, God is a good father who gives good gifts to his children. And if you ask to be filled with the Holy Spirit, that's exactly what he's going to do. And the experience will come. I left unsatisfied, but trusting that at some point I would experience this filling of the Holy Spirit, that something would come alive in me. So, fast forward, and I'm on this trip to Battelle, and I'm sitting in my very first prayer appointment, very first one. I have no idea what to expect, and I'm sitting with Linda Bowers, my dear friend and one of the mothers of this church, I think, and Steve Boyle. And we're sitting there together, and we had prayed, and we'd done everything, and I'm ready to sit the bench and watch them do their thing. And a man walks in the room. First one. And immediately, I am overwhelmed with God's heart for this man. I am taken aback by an experience of love that God the Father has for this man who's sitting in front of me. And I'm weirded out, honestly. I don't know what to do with it. My 19-year-old brain is just spinning. And he sits down and we get started. And Steve and Linda are completely oblivious to me in total panic mode of what is going on in this room. I don't know if they're feeling it or not. And as soon as he sits down and we read a passage out of Ephesians about them experiencing God's love. And we start praying, and immediately I start seeing in my mind's eye a prayer going through my mind. Like I see it on a tape reel going through my mind. And I'm like, this is weird. And it was specific things. And I thought to myself, I'm just making a judgment about that. I'm just looking at this man and I'm jumping to a conclusion about who he is and about his life. And then Linda starts praying. And she starts praying word for word, identical word for word, this tape reel that's going through my head. It's like Spider-Man. Whap, zam. Yeah. She can see everything that's going through my head. She's praying it word for word. And immediately, I had the revelation, I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. I've been filled with the Holy Spirit. I can hear his voice. And it was that very moment that was the point of no return for me. It changed the entire trajectory of my life. It changed everything for me. No longer was God out there, but he was in here. No longer was it just an intellectual understanding, but I knew him in a revelatory way, existing within my very being. And now it is my very life. I cannot imagine one day, I cannot imagine one day apart from knowing that God, the Holy Spirit, you know, he's not in third place. He's God. I can't imagine one day without knowing his living presence within my life. You know, when I prepare for messages even, my mantra, my normal thing that I do is I'll have my topic and I will research, I will study, I will read every commentary that I can get my hands on. I will read every book from respected theologians. I will get my mind around the idea of the message, and then I'll step back from it all and I'll say, Holy Spirit, speak. And he brings fire to the word of God. He brings life to the word of God. He sets it ablaze within me. And I could never do this apart from him speaking to me. It would be dry and it would be lifeless. But because of the Holy Spirit's filling of me and his voice in me, it brings life and refreshment to the deepest part of my being. I know the Holy Spirit deserves a hand clap, I think, Richard. Thank you. The people that I look up to the most, the spiritual giants that I admire the most, are ones who love the presence of God, are ones who have found the presence of God and have remained captivated by it their whole lives. Because they always have something fresh. There's never anything dry or stale or worn out. It's always fresh and beautiful, their walk with God. In Matthew 3:16, we see this scene where Jesus, the man Jesus, goes to John the Baptist to be baptized in water. And we see that he comes up out of the water, and the dove, symbolic of the Holy Spirit, comes and rests on him. Even Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit that he might accomplish everything that he had been ordained to accomplish on the earth. The reason for this whole series, Jesus himself told us that it would be better for him to go. Can you imagine how the disciples felt about that? Seriously, Jesus, I think it'd be better if you just stayed right here. Stay right here. I think it's better that you stay. See, when you weren't here, I was hiding in a closet. You came back and I was filled with power and I'm courageous now. I think I'd like you to stand right beside me. But you see, Jesus was restricted to a physical body. And he said, no, I think it would be better that I go so that the Holy Spirit can come and fill each of you. No longer will I live outside of you and beside you, but I will live my life within you. Galatians 3 tells us that Christ became the curse that we might receive the Holy Spirit. You see, receiving the Holy Spirit, being baptized in the Holy Spirit, having his infilling, is not like an afterthought of the gospel. It is actually part of what makes the good news so good. Not that he just came and forgave us of our sins and took on himself all of our infirmities, but he came to fill us with himself. That is the good news in entirety. So if we look at John 14 and verses 16 and 17, I'm going to read it in a couple translations because if you've heard me preach recently, I have become obsessed with the Passion Translation and I don't apologize for it. I'd encourage you to read it as well. It's just brought new life in my study of Scripture. So in the ESV, John 14, verses 16 and 17 says, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you." The Passion Translation says it this way, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another Savior, the Holy Spirit of truth, who will be to you a friend just like me, and he will never leave you." Let that sink in for a second. He will never leave you. "The world won't receive him because they can't see him or know him, but you will know him intimately because he will make his home in you and will live inside of you." See, I've underlined here this word helper and underneath this word savior, and it's a significant word for the Holy Spirit. And when you look at different translations, different theologians, you see it interpreted differently. I think how it's pronounced is parakletos. And it's translated in these different ways: defense attorney, advocate, one called to stand next to you, with you, or in you, helper, friend, comforter, counselor, encourager, intercessor, and savior. So which one is it? Yes, all of them. And I look at this list and my heart is so warm because I think about the different seasons and the different times where he's been each one of these things to me. He is so very good and so very kind, and he fills us in such a beautiful way. And I think, you know, this week, let me tell you about this week. I had a rough week, to say the least. Let me tell you, this time, right now, last week, I was in MedExpress. Because Saturday morning, I woke up and my eye was a little itchy. Felt like I had a piece of sand in there or something. By Saturday afternoon, my eye had like blown up and was swollen. This actually whole side of my face was swollen. And it was only open at a slit. And honestly, it was itching so bad. I considered multiple times reaching my hands in and pulling my eyeball out and throwing it because it was driving me crazy. So that is actually kind of what I looked like. And I'm not kidding. You can ask my mom and you can ask my husband and they will Travis could hardly look at me, honestly. And my mom, you know I'm in bad sorts because I called my mom. When you're calling your mom when you're 36 years old on a Saturday afternoon and saying, I need help, you know you're in bad shape. And she had some eye drops, and she said, I'll run them over to you. And the fact that I said yes meant, and at that point I just said, I think I have pink eye. She walked in the door and looked at me and went, oh my. And then she said, I don't think that's pink eye, Catherine. And that's about what I looked like. And that would have been enough. But then the medicine that I was put on to help this nonsense, I had an allergic reaction to. So it was sometime on Monday. I looked down at my feet, you know, through the slits, because I also infected the other eye with the one. This is the week, okay? I infected the other eye. And so I looked down at my feet through the slits in my eyes, and my feet are swollen and splotchy, and my hands are swollen, and my lip is swollen. So this is really not far from the truth. Burt McTeer asked me if I took a picture of myself. I don't know if he didn't believe me and he wanted proof, but he asked me if I took a picture of myself. I said, Burt, I don't take pictures of myself on good days, much less today. So that was my week. And I tell you all this for a little sympathy. No. Because during this sort of miserable 4.5 days, I became acutely aware of how often I distract myself from pain and stress in my life instead of running to the comforter who lives within me. You see, I realize that I have a tendency when I'm not wanting to deal with something that's going on within me, I'll scroll through social media, or I'm really a dork. I'll play solitaire and free cell. I know there are newer games, okay, but I like solitaire and free cell on my phone. I couldn't open my eyes. I couldn't run to the things that I usually use to numb myself from the pain. I wasn't around people. I was home by myself. I was helpless. And it was this beautiful reminder, honestly, of I have everything I need alive inside of me. I don't need to numb myself from pain. I can run to the Comforter. I can run to the one who will actually bring life to me. And you know what? I at one point, I was asking myself, I was saying, why? What is it that stops me? And I felt like what kind of came up is that sometimes I'm afraid he won't show up. Sometimes I'm afraid that he's not going to answer me, that he's going to be absent. But he was quick to remind me that he's not absent because he lives in me. He's always there. He's never missing. He's always right there, living within me. So that's a lie from the enemy. He's always right there. I've known the Holy Spirit as my counselor. Just a couple weeks ago, I was in a situation. Do you know anyone who they always can do it better than you, regardless of what it is? That was a nervous laugh. Are you all those people? Whatever it is, it's like they can do it better. You know, they ask questions like, "Have you tried this?" Or "Have you thought about it this way?" They're critical. They like to blame. So a couple weeks ago, I got an email that was just kind of full of blame and finger pointing and whatever. And like an idiot, I had read it right before I went to bed. I don't know why I ever open emails before I go to bed, but I had. So I'd read it right before I went to bed. So, you know, I tossed and turned all night long. And then I woke up anxious. You know, I woke up holding this thing of like, I'm going to have to work through this, and I'm going to have to see them, I'm going to have to deal with this thing. And so it's my practice to spend time set apart with God early in the morning. And so instead of just kind of going through the motions and doing the normal thing, I said, God, I need you to speak to me about this. I need you to tell me what to do about this situation. And like a good counselor, he reminded me that I'm a good leader. He reminded me of my own worth. He reminded me who I am. He reminded me that it's not my job to make it okay for everybody else, that I don't have to carry everybody else's pain for them. He counseled me then not to get in a situation with people who won't change and match their resistance. He reminded me of the verse that says that in Proverbs, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word will stir up dissension. He reminded me that there's always going to be people who think that they can do better, and sometimes they really can. And to let them and get out of the way, because it's not a competition. We're actually on the same team. And then he told me that he wanted me to be ruthlessly for that person. And the picture that he gave me was a boxing ring, and he showed me that they were in a corner and they were ready to go. And then he said, I want you to get in their corner. So I just walked over and I became their cheerleader. I got in their corner. I made a decision in my heart that I was going to be ruthlessly for them, that I was going to see them, and I was going to hear their disappointment. He showed me the blame that they had shot out, and it looked like an arrow, and he said, just dodge it. You don't have to receive that. Don't catch it and throw it back either. Just let it go. He assured me that he had enough peace for me and that he had enough peace for them too. He told me that I don't need to surrender my power so that they can have power, but that actually I have the authority to empower them. And then he went on to show me in detail, actually, the source of some deep hurt that they're carrying. And you know, he didn't show that to me so that I could say, oh, okay, I get it now. It became a place of compassion in my heart towards them. I got it. I understood. I understood now why they responded the way that they did. They had to. They'd learned to fight. It's the only response they knew. And so all of a sudden I had compassion. And so then hours later when I was in a room with them, it was fine. No big deal. I just got in their corner, let the Holy Spirit come and fill the room with peace. It was fine. Listen, guys, I don't know what you think about all that. Maybe that all sounds like common sense to you, but the truth is I'm not that smart. I'm not that smart. I can't come, or that humble, to be honest. I can't come to those conclusions on my own. I need the Holy Spirit to come and counsel me and fill me and show me how to do life in a way that's better. He's been my advocate. You remember, it was like a thing. For those of you who have been here a really long time, one Easter we did cardboard testimonies. So what that was is a bunch of us just got these big pieces of cardboard, and we wrote the before story of our lives before Jesus, and then on the back we wrote the after of Jesus, and we had this huge line. I mean, it went like halfway. It was like almost everybody in the church was doing it, halfway around the room, and you'd come up and you'd show your sign, then you'd flip it over, and everybody would go crazy because we could relate to it. And it's this beautiful depiction of a testimony just in a couple of words. And so when I did this, I actually did it at Battelle, not leading a trip. I think Linda was leading that trip, and we did cardboard testimonies for the men and women there, and you know, you have to really think about it to, like, push your whole testimony into a couple words. And so mine, on one side, I wrote, needed approval. And on the back, I wrote, he approves. Because again, I just was steeped in insecurity. Still struggle with it some. But it was what the enemy had used to keep me small and keep me quiet. Is you need to be quiet and you need to stay in the corner. You don't have anything of worth to share. And so when the Holy Spirit came and he filled me and he started to teach me about my worth, and he started to tell me how much he loved me, and he started to reveal the sacrifice of Jesus to me in a new way, and he revealed to me the love of God the Father in a new way, it changed everything. When I know that he's my advocate, I lose the need to plead my own case. I just don't have to anymore. And when I know that he's my advocate, I don't need someone else to empower me. So which one is it? Parakletos. It's a weighty word. It holds a lot. And it's all of those. He is all of those things. And I wanted to show you the Aramaic. Oops. The Aramaic translation of this word, parakleta. The first word means to end, finish, or to save. This is where we see that last one I put, Savior. the last part of the word, the curse. What a beautiful word picture. The Holy Spirit comes to end the work of sin in our lives. Jesus defeated the power of sin and death at the cross, and the Holy Spirit helps us to live in that victory. A.W. Tozer says, "For me, Christ died, and the redemptive benefits of that death are by the miracle of his present life perpetuated forever as efficacious now as on the day he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. And when he arose the third day, it was for me. And when he poured out upon the disciples the promised Holy Spirit, it was that he might continue in me the work he had been doing for me since the morning of creation. All my needs," you know, when I look at this list, we're going to have to go back to Will Smith again. When I look at this list, it just, what more do you need? What's missing? So much right there, and it's all alive in me. He is all of those things. He's all of those things right now. He's all of those things all the time. My every need is met in his living presence, living within me. Are you lonely? He'll be your friend. Do you need courage? He will encourage you in a way that no one else can. He'll tell you who you are, and he'll remind you of your worth to him. Do you need to make a tough decision? He'll counsel you on which way to go. Listen, it is my delight. It is like my greatest honor to tell you about the Holy Spirit, because I love him so much. I hope you can see that. It's changed my life. It's changed the way that I study scripture. It's changed the way that I walk with God. It's just changed everything. I can't imagine doing life without him. And so I want to make that invitation to you today. That if you've never received this amazing, beautiful gift of the Holy Spirit alive inside of you, it's available right now, right here. Ministry team, come up, please. Trust me, these guys would love to pray with you that you could be filled with the Holy Spirit. And you know what's really good news? If you've been filled, you can be filled again. And tomorrow, you can be filled again. And Tuesday, you can be filled again. And Wednesday, you can be filled again. And he'll stretch your capacity, and he'll stretch your understanding, and he'll stretch you till you can know him more and more and more. He just continues to pour himself out on us. I can't get to the bottom of his goodness. He continues to reveal new things to me. So kind, so gentle, and he's so good. Would you pray with me? God, you are a good father. And Jesus, we thank you for pouring out your life for us. that we could have relationship with God forever. And Holy Spirit, we thank you that you come and you live inside of us. You don't come to visit. You come and you unpack and you take up residence in our hearts and our minds, our spirits. And you make things new and you give us life and you show us a better way. And we love you. And so, God, if anyone today is yearning for your Holy Spirit or is begging that you would come and fill them in a fresh and new way, God, would you come right now and fill them in Jesus' name? We love you. We love you. We love you. We love you. Fill each one in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You are free to come forward and let someone lay hands on you and pray for you, and you are free to go and be filled with the Holy Spirit this week. Love you guys.